Jeremiah chapter 6 in your Bibles this morning. You've heard me say many times, to be born free is a wonderful privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility that each one of us share. Jeremiah chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, and even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. God has had a special purpose for America, and that is to show the world what a country founded on the Bible could be. This, ladies and gentlemen, this morning is a time of reaffirmation of values. Each of us need to be resolute in our desire to see America return to the old paths of Bible truth. I want us to remember, first of all, this morning, the greatness of America's system. And as I go through this, I want you to understand that these were moral issues before they became political issues. First of all, the principle of the sanctity of life. In Exodus chapter 20, in the Ten Commandments, God said, thou shalt not kill. You had better understand that thou shalt not murder. You understand that capital punishment is a biblical command, and that is not murder. That is killing, of course, but it is not murder. And the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. One of the horrible things that has happened in our generation, we have exchanged the sanctity, the sacredness of life for convenience. And let me just ask you, is America better off having abandoned that? Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But the Lord expands on that. And the reason he expands on it is simply because the demands of grace is always greater than the demands of the law. Of old time, thou shalt not kill. But then he says this, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That is the principle of the sanctity of life, ladies and gentlemen, expanded by our Lord to include these others. Second of all, the principle of the traditional family. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. I am saddened that we even have the debate today about what a family is. And ladies and gentlemen, the family is well defined in the Word of God. Third, the principle of common decency. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that they saw their nakedness, and God killed animals and took coats of skin and clothed them. And the reason he did that is because nakedness is a shame. And when you read through, especially Leviticus chapter 19, over and over, it talks about the shame of nakedness. We are to assist each other in personal purity by the way we dress. Years ago, in San Francisco, of course, they designated certain parks where you could go and take your clothes off and do whatever you decided to do. What a shame. That is nakedness, and that is a shame. And all you would have to go back to is your mama, and your mama saying, "That's a shame. Don't do it." Okay? The principle of the work ethic. Again, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, God said to Adam, 6 days shalt thou labor. That's expanded in the New Testament. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look at verse 10. It expands on the work ethic. "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." If someone is poor, we have responsibilities to them. Everybody gets that. If somebody is lazy, we do not have a responsibility to them to take care of them. Our welfare system is broken because we violated the Word of God. Folks, all you have to do is look at these things and begin to understand why we are where we are today. The principle, next of all, of the Abrahamic covenant. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God said, "I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee." God was talking to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. And he said, "Everybody that blesses you will be blessed, and those people that curse you will be cursed." Since 1948, when Israel became a state once again and put the flag up and the Knesset and the other things associated with a nation, the United States of America has been her best friend. And if we ever stop being her friend, if we ever stop praying for the peace of Jerusalem, God help us. Okay? And then the principle of God-centered education. Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You understand that secular humanism is a religion, and the cardinal doctrine of secular humanism is evolution. God help us with the implications of evolution to us and to our kids. Next is the principle of divinely ordained institutions. God is the one who established the home. God is the one who established government. God is the one who established the church. And we have responsibilities to each one of them. Second of all, the guilt of America. In Psalm 9 and verse 17, the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Folks, we have abandoned our conscience. We have sold out God for greed, for the love of money. George Gallup said, "Religion is increasing, morality is decreasing." Never has a society had more and been less happy than what we are today. And at the very heart of our rebellion against God, ladies and gentlemen, is abortion. Our society has turned against kids. Since 1972 or 3, whenever it was, you understand that we have put 65 million babies to death. 65 doesn't fit in my mind. I want you to go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And you will see this played out every day on the news. How we have violated this verse of Scripture and the implications because of that. This past week, we had an individual that was only in jail for a short period of time, even though he murdered an individual. And the first thing he did when he got out of jail was murder another individual. Listen to what Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 says about that. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily." Okay? "Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." God, help us. We've got to get back to the Bible. Pornography is an issue in America. America is the porn capital of the world. And then the drive today is to legitimize what God calls abomination. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 18. The Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Skip down to verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Because of our rebellion, God is closing the door on America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. And you understand, ladies and gentlemen, because you have a good understanding of history, when God's hand of judgment falls on a nation, it is a shattering blow. And so some of you are saying, boy, I wish I wouldn't even have come today. You're asking, is there any hope for America? Of course there is hope. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The only hope that America has, ladies and gentlemen, is you and I. God's people. We have no moral problem that God cannot solve. We have no economic problem that God cannot solve. We have no social problem that God cannot solve. If we seek His face in utter desperation and say, oh God, if you don't intervene, we are I was probably in the third or fourth grade when we had to memorize this. You will recognize it in a moment. It happened March 23rd, 1775. The colonists were still debating, should we dissolve the political bands which have connected us with England or not? And one individual that was persuasive stood up and said this: is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased by the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. And ladies and gentlemen, we stand in that crossroad today. God help us. Let's pray. Father, once again, thank you for our country. This country that our fathers fought in World War II and preserved our freedom. And we are thankful. We are thankful for all that you have done for us. It's such a wonderful land of natural resources and national resolve through the years. Father, help us to return to that. Dear Father, if there's someone here this morning that has never been saved, I pray that even though we have spoken about salvation somewhat, that there is enough of the Word of God that has been given that would cause them to say, I need what the Bible has to say. So, Father, help us to examine our heart, to go the way of the cross, to love you, to obey you. Father, thank you for this time together. Bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. If God has spoken to your heart, maybe you simply need to come and pray for your country. If you're here this morning, never been saved,